I had a bit of a rough end of marathon. I was struggling towards the end, and I sort of was a bit wobbly on my feet when I finished. And the medical people who are brilliant had asked me if I was okay, and asked me if I'd like to sit down. So I sat down, and I was still a bit shaky at the time. And then they took me into the medical tent, which is by the finish. So at the finish, I went into the medical tent, and I was talked to by people and a physiotherapist, and then a doctor came along to see if I was fine, and it took my blood pressure and so on. And whilst I was there sitting on one of those little beds that they have, we heard this bang, followed by another bang. So there were two bangs. And I said, "I'm from Belfast. I know that sound. It's a bomb." And no one was sure. No one knew what it was. And so then, within 3 or 4 minutes, there was all pandemonium in the medical tent, because people, those of us that were, if you like, the walking wounded from the race, were being shunted to one side in the medical tent, and they were clearing the central aisle, because the tent has an entrance and an exit at the back where the standby ambulances are. So those of us that were race casualties, walking wounded, were shunted to one end. The center of the medical tent was cleared. Medical staff were reassigned, and trolleys were being wheeled in, started to being wheeled in through the center of the medical tent. A couple of them were stopped and were given treatment. One person had said someone's had their legs blown off, and they were being taken through to the back where some of the ambulances were. Soon after that, then those of us that were not too bad, because I had recovered, were ushered out. And then when I stepped outside, hoping to get my goodie bag of food and the other things, I found that the start of the finish had been totally cleared. All of the paraphernalia of the finish had been totally cleared, and everything was being directed to a couple of streets away. I spent about half an hour trying to find the bus that had taken my baggage from Hopkinton, which is the little town where the race starts, and had been reassigned and parked somewhere else in Boston. And then the cell phones were off, and the subway was in lockdown, and so I spent about half an hour walking around Boston Common in a bit of a daze, and gradually and slowly picking up snippets of information as to what had happened, because I was seeing it from a slightly different perspective. No one knew exactly what had happened. Rumors were flying. I was talking to a couple of people, asking what was going on. And that essentially is my story. I mean, I heard the explosion. I was very close to it in the medical tent. I knew what it was. And I saw some of the casualties coming through, but
and Michael,
it was all over in a flash, really.
And Michael, you said you knew what it was because you were from Belfast and you'd heard that noise before.
I had heard that noise before. I knew that noise.
It obviously reminded you of the worst days of the Troubles.
Yes, well, it did. It reminded me of Belfast. And the irony is, I don't mean it irony, but once upon a time back in the 80s, I was the head of tourism in North America for the Northern Ireland Tourist Board. And I spent time trying to defend, you know, the Troubles in Northern Ireland to Americans. It seemed a little bit ironic to me at the time.
Michael,
I recognised the sound. I really did. It was amazing, in that sense.
Michael, how are you now?
I am fine in terms of the race. I'm now slowly recovering. I'm quite old. I'm 61, so these things take their toll a bit. I had more contacts, more phone calls, more texts, more emails in a short period of time than I've ever done in my life. everyone was trying to get through to everyone else. I'm also a member of a running club in the United States from when I lived here, and I knew four or five people that were here as well. That were running the race, so we were trying to get in contact with each other to make sure everyone was okay. So it was a big round of texting and phone calling, if we could get online, if we get a phone call through, and emailing. Really amazing amount of flurry of activity. Really amazing flurry of activity, and everyone was the same.
Michael,
but here's one of the things that I found. I had a brilliant morning of the race, and I experienced the very, very best of American life. Someone I know in Chicago has a cousin that lives in Hopkinton, which is a small town 26 miles away. That's the start. And they had hosted a small number of people to a breakfast before the race. They had opened their doors and had let on a spread of food, and they'd given us a lift from the start area to their home, and taken our bags and deposited them on the buses, and had taken us to the start in their vehicles. I had experienced wonderful, wonderful hospitality, and I thought at the time, this is the very best of America.
Michael,
just before the start of the race, it was fantastic.
Michael, what is happening in Boston now? What is the mood there now, and what have you been told by officials?
The mood is very solemn, because normally this is one of the big highlights in Boston's life. It's Patriots Day. There's an enormous amount of people from all over the world and all over America coming to Boston. I was riding, you know, with a guy from Czechoslovakia on the bus out to the race, but it was very somber. The restaurants were being closed down, the coffee shops, Starbucks were being closed, and people were being advised to get off the street. So there was no celebration last night, no partying, nothing. Everyone I know was staying indoors and watching the events unfold on television, rather than go out and celebrate the end of the race. It's very somber. It's very serious, and it's a mood not unlike the moods that we had experienced in Belfast in the bad old days after an atrocity. And I mean, it's what time is it now? Well, you know what time it is. So I don't know what it's going to be like in the morning, but last night was dead, absolutely dead.